My message this morning is going to be taken from Acts chapter 8, as is posted in the bulletin, which I didn't mention, Mike, on the front of the bulletin. And the title of my message is, Have Water, Will Baptize. Okay? And so that's our plan this morning. We want to look into the Word for a few moments. Have Water, Will Baptize, as we look at this government official from Ethiopia and how it was that Philip baptized him. And we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. And then we're going to change the order of our service to get to our baptism service. And the kids are going to come back up from downstairs. And we'll move our way to the back. And then you folks can turn your chairs if you want or turn around. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going this morning. And then, like I say, we have lots of great food downstairs, and you won't want to miss that, okay? We're excited about it. All right, so Acts chapter 8. Want to go there. Acts 8. And I trust that many of you had a good 4th of July yesterday, a little picnicking, some fireworks maybe, that kind of stuff. I had a friend who lit off some fireworks, and he took a picture on Facebook of his hand. And he said, yeah, did fireworks last night, and I still got all 5 fingers. Wonderful. He didn't put his other hand up, though. But anyways, we are grateful for the freedom that we have and for all of those. I've come from a family who's served the military and grateful for all of those who have and are currently serving for our freedom. Okay, Acts chapter 8, and I'd like to start reading at verse 26, either in your Bibles or on your device, okay? It's okay to have a device as long as you don't become divisive, okay? So verse 26 says, Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Now, Philip was one of those guys who came to Christ early on, and became a leader, and what we refer to as an evangelist. Many of us, I have one, thank you. Many of us know about evangelists, of course, those of us who are old enough, through knowing Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham's an evangelist. Well, Philip here is one of those guys. He's an evangelist, preacher of the gospel. And so he's going here and there. And it says an angel came to him and said to him, Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It was quite a ways. I forget what it was, maybe 50 miles, something like that. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Now what that means is that he met this official, government official, okay? And this government official, we'll find out here. So every time you see Ethiopian eunuch, government official from Ethiopia. And he worked for the government. He worked for then the queen, as it says here. He was an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now notice, he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was religious. And on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So on his way home, he probably picked up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah while in Jerusalem, and he's going through it. He's reading the Bible. And as he's reading it, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So this chariot's going down the road. Philip is running. He had to be quite a sprinter. Catches up to it because the Spirit of the Lord told him to do that. I mean, it's quite a scene going on here. It's every bit as miraculous as you can imagine, okay? I mean, to hear from an angel, it did not be, you know, the pizza that you ate the night before. To be sensitive enough to the Lord to hear the Spirit of God speak to you, and that when you get there, it's right on. This guy's reading the Bible, and as we find out here, it says, he says, then Philip ran up to the chariot, verse 30, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading out loud. And Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? Now, think about it. The guy's there, And it's like Philip runs up. It's not every day. You know, imagine you, you know, you're in your car, you're driving down the road, you know, you're listening to some music, whatever. You stop at a stoplight, and somebody just peeks in your window. Hey, you getting the message on that, whatever? It's like, whoa, wait a minute here. And that's what happens here. This guy isn't startled because he's so engrossed in the question that he has of what he's reading in the Bible. And he says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Now, isn't that amazing? God sent Philip to help this guy understand something that he was reading. Wow. Hold on to that. And he says, so he invited Philip to come in, sit with him. He understood this guy is putting two and two together. Well, I guess he's here to help me understand what's going on. He reads the scripture, and the scripture here in the Old Testament, Isaiah, is foretelling about Jesus and his sacrifice on Calvary, the gospel. And he says, is this talk, who's the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? And then Philip says to him, verse 35, he says, then Philip began with that scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He says, this is talking about Jesus and about salvation, about redemption. And it says, as they traveled along the road, and here it is, as they traveled along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is some cold water. I say that, I know the cold isn't in there, but I just say that to prepare those of you who are going to be baptized. It's cold. Okay, it's cold water. Sorry. It's cold. But he says, well, here's some water, the government official said. He said, why shouldn't I be baptized? So there was something in his message that Philip talked to this guy about that brought it around to believing in Christ includes being baptized in water. See? And so he says, here's some. And so he says, he gave orders to the chariot to stop. Whoa. That's what I was think he said, right? Whoa, the horse-driven chariots. And then they went down, the both of them, into the water. Philip baptized him. And it says, when they came up out of the water, notice, came up where? Out of the water. Not shaking the water off after being sprinkled. Just saying. When they came up out of the water, it says the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And then it says the official didn't see him again. So it's like Philip comes and goes. Particular mission, particular instructions. Something's going on here. And then it says, and I love these words, it says, and this guy went away. How? Rejoicing. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, as we now consider some of the things from this word, that we would, God, become in these moments, Lord, like we've never heard it before. As we speak about the gospel, God, oftentimes the things that we hear and hear and hear, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. But today, God, that you touch our hearts and that something of your Spirit would touch us deeply and that your word would come that much more alive to all of us here today. In Christ's name, amen and amen. And so there are just three things that I want to draw out from this passage of Scripture for us to sink our teeth in today. You ready? Three things. Here's the first one. God pays attention. God pays special attention to the person whose heart is open to him. And so here you have it. This guy here. He's on his way in so many in such a way as be minding his own business. And God sees that this guy's heart is open to him. God takes notice of that. And God takes notice of it in such a way that he commandeers Philip, pulls Philip out and says, hey, I got a special assignment for you. And it's not like, well, you know, there's 100 people It's not like there's going to be a big crowd, right? It's not like there's going to be a lot of fanfare, a lot of recognition. No, it's just one guy on a desert road all by himself. And God says, I see that guy right there. And I see his open heart. And I'm going to send Philip, one of my best, to do something about it. And here's the point. The point is that God takes seriously anyone who is serious about him. That's just God. That's God. And he will go to great lengths to go after that person. He will go to great lengths to go after you. You know, Cliff and I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm going to embarrass him. We often talk. And Cliff was baptized a couple of years ago now, and he looks back on his life. As we've been talking, and he'll recount for me times in which he came this close. Should I go thinner, Cliff? To where he should be dead. Times on the road, he was a truck driver, other situations. And he says, you know, God must have kept me around because he's got a purpose for my life. Because God saw in his heart an openness towards him. And he says, I'm going to go get him. And God got him. God got him. And I like what one commentator says about this situation. He says that something here was especially arranged by God that Philip would go, that all the details would work out and work it out in such a way as to, you know, the timing of it, it's right there. We call it providentially worked out in the details. God is in the detail of our lives. God is in the detail of your life. If your heart is open to him, it's not the devil. It's God who is in the detail of your lives and mine. And we see that here with this guy. Now that says something big about God, once again. And it says something about how involved he is in my life and in yours. He made sure Philip got to him. And so it is with you. With you here and now. With you who are going to be baptized. God sought you out. So oftentimes we turn that around, right? You know how we seek God. And I think there's something to be said about that. But oh, how he seeks us out. Here's the second point that I want to make from this passage of Scripture. And I take it from this whole idea here, you know, starting at verse, 35, where he begins to read the passage of Scripture, and then Philip tells him the what kind of news? Good news. The good news. And to say it like this, you ready? The only fix for all the brokenness in your life is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only fix. Show me a person without brokenness in their lives, and I'll show you someone who hasn't been born yet. You know. And the only fix, the only one who knows how to deal with the brokenness, whatever level it is, brokenness in our own lives that we don't oftentimes even grasp is the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news about it. Everything this guy was doing wasn't working. How can I say that? He's on his way back from doing all those things he thought was important to make his life good. He just got done worshiping in Jerusalem. Doing all those things, you know. Going to church, going through the motions, worshiping God, so he thought. And yet, there's something in him that just isn't right yet. And he's finding it as he's opening the word in Isaiah. And saying, boy, there's something here. There's something here. There's something here. And God just so happens to send Philip to tell him, this is what that is, the good news of Jesus. And that good news of Jesus so worked in his life This time, when he goes away, he's not asking any more questions because of the brokenness. How does he go away? How does he go away? How does he go away? Rejoicing. Something in this guy got fixed. Everything in God, everything God did in Christ fixes it for you and me. Here's the last one. He began his Christian life by being baptized. So this is what we say about this guy, this government official. He begins by being baptized. Now, you know, if you say a person becomes a believer, they're not baptized, they die, are they going to heaven? Yes. Of course they are. They believe. They're walking with Jesus. But a person who becomes a believer, the next step that they take is to be baptized in water. That's part of the good news of Jesus. We sang about it this morning in the songs. And here's the thing. When he went away from this experience, he went away with something he didn't have before. That is, after he was baptized. And here's the thing. You almost get the feeling that there's an anxiousness in this guy's life, that there's a misery that was taken out of his life after he was baptized. Because it says, again, he went away rejoicing. You know, misery is a bad thing. Misery. You know, you ever been miserable? Misery. Oh, misery is horrible. And it isn't that, you know, we don't feel upset, get upset, and have bad days. But there's something about the good news that Jesus brings into our lives, even on our worst days, even in the worst of it, there is something yet so settling within us that makes it possible yet for us to navigate yet to keep on living. Wow. That's powerful stuff. I think. That's the good news of Jesus. He went on his way. And the whole idea there is he went on his way. He went on his way following Jesus. So that, as you're going to hear in the baptismal confession, a person who becomes baptized, they are serious about following Christ. Yeah. I'm as serious as a heart attack follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. And people who are baptized are saying that. There's no magic in the water. You know, nobody goes in and ain't and comes out a saint. No one, right? No one goes in imperfect and comes out perfect, you know? No one goes in with horns and comes out with halo. Don't you wish? I mean, don't you just wish that No. And as you read in this chapter before, Philip baptized a guy who believed, and he turned out to be a bad guy. Because what it takes is after you're baptized, you follow through. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so, without further ado, we want to make our way now to the baptistry. That is just so good looking. I'm just so happy about that tank, that we're able to do this. And it is an exciting day for us. I remember the day that I was baptized. I can still remember it. I was 16 years old. It was at Pleasant Lake. The water was cold. Now, I'm saying that again, Jody, for you to hear that the water was cold. I did throw some buckets. I threw four or five buckets of warm water in there to warm it up. But the original water came out of the well, 5,000 feet down where it's nice and cold. But I can remember that day. And I trust that those of you who have been baptized, that you can remember the day as well, because it was an important day. And it means something. It means something for us all.